Good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see a goodly number gathered in, and each and every one that is here this evening, can we welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this evening. Those that are visiting as well, we give you a very special welcome. May the Lord bless you as you're amongst our number this evening. And to our online audience, wherever you are, we want to thank you for spending this time with us as well. And may God speak to you even this evening. Can we remind you of the meetings in the incoming week? And firstly, just one final reminder. This is the last opportunity to give in towards our harvest offering. As we mentioned on Friday evening, and mentioned again this morning, our harvest offering is going towards the millers over in the land of England as they've taken up the work there in Tavistock. And so if you'd like to give a contribution towards it, then can we ask that you leave that in this evening. Monday evening at 7 p.m. continues the work amongst the children, and do continue to remember that work in prayer that the Lord will bless it and use even the going forth of the word to the little ones. Wednesday evening will be our prayer meeting, Bible study at 8 p.m. here in the church, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. We're looking to God's people once again to gather out and to come around God's word and then around the throne of grace in prayer. And then, as mentioned this morning, the committee meeting has been moved from the Thursday to the Wednesday night, so it will take place immediately after the prayer meeting. And then on Friday night, there is a youth rally over in our Clocker Valley congregation at 8 p.m. And young people, we encourage you to go over and be part of that service. As we mentioned, on Friday evening, they opened their brand new church building on Saturday afternoon. And they're marking this incoming week. They're having four nights of gospel mission as well. And then the Friday night will be a youth rally for the local churches in the area. And so young people, we're leaving that open for you to go along and to support over there. And then the services next Sunday, beginning in the morning with the Sabbath school at 10:30. And then the morning and evening services, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Remember, as always, the seasons of prayer before both of those services. The preacher at both meetings next week will be the Reverend Larry Parr. And he'll be preaching the word in the morning, and then he's bringing a word of testimony in the evening time. And let me just take this opportunity to invite you and encourage you even to come back next Sunday as God's servant comes to minister, and even as he brings that word of testimony in the evening time. From this Saturday, I'll be off just for 1 week, from Saturday to Saturday. And can we mention, if there are any emergencies, do get in contact, please, with a member of the session. We're not heading too far. Maybe get a couple of days up with the in-laws. We don't want to spend too much time up with them. A couple of days usually suffices. But the best bit is my wife's probably listening to this, and I'll hear about it when I get home. But no, we're just heading away for a couple of days with the half-term holidays. And so if there's anything, do please get in touch with one of the session. This Monday, tomorrow evening, and throughout the week, not only is there the mission in Clocker Valley, but Corrigarry's annual Bible conference is back on at 8 p.m. Monday to Friday. And the theme this year is to do with missions, and it's rediscovering our place in the Great Commission. And so we encourage you, if you can't get along to those meetings at all, then do certainly tune in online when our own meetings aren't on. As was mentioned this morning as well, do remember on Wednesday evening, our brother Stephen Nelson will be ordained to the gospel ministry and installed in the Resharkin congregation. That meeting's taking place in our Ballymena church to accommodate numbers. It is by invite only, but of course we've our own prayer meeting here. And so we encourage you even to come and to pray for God's servant as he takes up that work in Resharkin. That service as well will be able to be viewed online at later times. And so we're going to commence our service this evening. We're turning in our hymn books to the hymn 734. The hymn 734, you'll find it on page 470, Sowing in the Morning, Sowing Seeds of Kindness, Sowing in the Noontide and the Dewy Eaves. 734 will stand after the introduction, please.
Thank you.
And let's fill ourselves in God's presence this evening. Unite together our hearts around the throne of grace in prayer. And may it be the prayer of each and every one of God's people that the Lord will draw near. The Lord will meet with us tonight in His house. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. In and through that precious and that wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We bow before Thee with humbleness. We bow before Thee with praise in our hearts and thanksgiving. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And Father, we do rejoice in Thy goodness and in Thy mercy to us each and every day of our lives. We rejoice, O God, in Thy goodness, Thy mercy to us another year. Lord, for Thy hand of mercy upon this congregation, for watching over us, for keeping Thy loving hand upon us. We thank Thee, O God, for every opportunity that has been presented to this church, Lord, and to its people, even to present Christ and Him crucified. Lord, we thank Thee even for the opportunity once again tonight to draw aside and to come to Thy house, to have the book opened to us and being read and being preached. Lord, we do rejoice that the gospel is old, but we thank Thee it's ever new. Amen. We thank Thee and praise Thee that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And, O Father, even this night, as Thy servant will come and minister in the word, Lord, it will be that ingathering of souls. O God, we long in these days for the breath of God. We long, O God, for Thee to draw nigh, for the windows of heaven to be opened, and for that blessing to be poured out upon our land once again. Oh, truly we can say with the hymn writer, this land is barren and dry, and barren it shall remain. Oh God, how we need Thee. It's only Thee, O God, that can even send that water from heaven, and how we pray for it. Lord, we proclaim that promise even in Ezekiel, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh God, come and pour out that blessing upon this land once again. May it even commence here tonight. Lord, I know it's the heart of each and every one that is in this building. And I know the heart, O God, of each and every one that is online. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt bless, that Thou wilt work in hearts, that Thou wilt still hearts even in Thy presence this evening, that Thou wilt still the minds of each and of every one. And Lord, that Thou wilt come, and Thou wilt do great and wonderful things even in our midst. Lord, remember this service from start to finish. We pray, O God, for our sister as she will minister in song. We thank Thee for her. We pray that Thou wilt bless her and use her this night. And Lord, we pray even as those messages are sung. Lord, may there be even those words that will strike into our hearts. Lord, we pray for Thy servant who will minister. Bless him. O God, fill him from on high with the Holy Ghost. Lord, give him that help from Thee and from Thee alone. Remember as we sing together the praises of Zion. Remember those that will minister even on the organ and the piano. Bless every part, we pray Thee. And glorify Thy Son in our midst. In Jesus' name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're delighted this evening to have our sister, Mary Baxter, Mrs. Mary Baxter, with us. We're going to ask her now just to go to the pulpit. And she's going to minister in song two pieces. Thank you.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to the thrills my soul.
Let me thank our sister for those two beautiful pieces in song this evening. And truly they've been a blessing to our hearts, even as we consider the wonder of God's love and how the Lord Jesus left the splendor of glory to come down into this sin-cursed world to take my sin, to take my guilt, and to carry it to the Calvary's cross for me. Oh, the wonder of it all. We're going to read together just the words of Psalm 118. We always, as a congregation, read a psalm every Sunday together. And with being away this morning at another harvest service, we'll take the opportunity tonight to read Psalm 118. And certainly the words are applicable both to what our sister's just been singing and also to the harvest time as well. Psalm 118, in verse 1, says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And truly we can say at the harvest time that the Lord's mercy is endured once again. What a faithful God we have in heaven and indeed over all of the earth. 735 we'll sing just before we come to the preaching part of the service. 735, the page again is 470. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? 735, we'll stand again as we sing, please. Stand as we sing. Well, it is a joy tonight to have as our guest preacher the Reverend Trevor Baxter, and as well to have had his wife along to sing as well. Reverend Baxter is no stranger to the congregation here. We're delighted he's been able to return and to preach in God's Word. We were just speaking briefly with him before, since he's retired. I couldn't remember which other congregation he's been intermoderator in. He is currently the intermoderator in our Market Hill congregation. And before that, he was intermoderator in Randallstown. So since he's retired, he hasn't really retired at all. And we're thankful the Lord's blessing's been upon him. And he's still fit and able to preach. And we're looking forward now as the Lord's servant will come and minister to us.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. It's a joy to be back again. You almost feel like you're coming home. I had many precious memories of my times. Well, I had a couple of them in this congregation. You know, I think it's 22 miles from Dungannon. I used to go different routes, but I wasn't sure. My sense of direction is not what you would call good. Just telling folk the other day that I was going out with Mary for 3 months. And this is not a story, this is true. And I couldn't find her house by myself. 3 months, imagine. Some people say, are you sorry that you ever found her house? But I couldn't say anything like that. But we came the way that we would have come at the start through Donaghmore and Pomeroy. But it's a joy to be back here in Six Mile Cross. And I do trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather here this evening. Now, don't be worrying about length of sermon, because over the last couple of years, I haven't been able to keep standing in the one place for too long. There's arthritis and knees and so on and other things, but I get to what I need to say. The Reverend S.B. Cook taught us, you know, men, when he was teaching us in homiletics and pastoral theology, if you fellas as students can't say what you need to say in 30 minutes, that's because you can't say it at all. And I've tried to follow that. Now, a man in his own pulpit can take as long as he wants. That's his own affair. But apart from anything else, 30 minutes is the maximum usually. Unless, of course, you get liberty. And then you could be here to the cornflakes time in the morning. But I assure you, you'll not be. Now, we're going to read some verses, please, from a very well-known portion of God's Word. In Genesis chapter 4. And we read from verse 1. As I say, you'll know this portion of Scripture as well as I do. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. But unto Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Amen. And we know that God will bless this public reading of his truth for Jesus' sake. But the scripture before us tonight, folks, could we bow just for a moment, please, in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for the meeting thus far, the reminder of the harvest season and the faithfulness of God. We thank thee for the ministry and song. We thank thee too for the congregational singing of these lovely harvest hymns. Now, Lord, as we come to our closing time, we pray for help from heaven in the ministry of thy truth. O God, this preacher knows his own weakness, his own lack, his own inabilities. But Lord, our trust, like Jehoshaphat of old, is upon thee. We cannot look to the right, to the left, but we look up, for the Lord is our shield. Bless us, Lord, in the ministry of the book, and grant, Father, that if there's one in this congregation tonight not saved, may it please the Lord through this God-ordained method of preaching to save them that believe. Answer prayer. We remember again your servant that pastors this work. We thank thee for our brother. And we pray you'll bless him, his wife and family, and encourage them. May they be much strengthened in these days, these strange days of COVID and all kinds of problems. Now abide with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4 informs us that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. But Cain and Abel were the two eldest. Some say that they were twins. Now, although I might tend to that personally, myself, that view, I couldn't dogmatically state so. But apart from anything else, there's no mention made in the record here in Genesis 4:1-4. It just says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. No mention of the second conception here. Maybe that's not enough to go on, but it's something to think about. And some other men in church history have believed the same thing. It's not really important to know that one way or the other, but I just mentioned it in passing. Names in scripture are very important. Cain means possession. Notice what she says in verse 1 of chapter 4. She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know, she thought that she was bringing forth the Messiah, the Savior. It's been the prayer of every Hebrew woman since time immemorial. It's literally in the original, I am told, I have gotten a man, the Lord. You think of that, it's very interesting. How wrong people can be. It was Matthew Henry that made the comment, the less we expect from creatures, the more tolerable will disappointment be. And he was right. The word Abel means vanity. She was so taken up with Cain as the promised seed that another son just seemed like vanity to her. And of course the psalmist declares this in the 39th Psalm, and the verse 5. Listen to these words. Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, or truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's what it meant here, way back in Genesis. What I want to do tonight, remembering that this is the harvest time, is to look at these two men, Cain and Abel, in relation to their worship. Because remember, both of them came before God with their offerings. The first thought is this. We want to notice the coming to worship. These men both worked, you know. They weren't lazy. They weren't indolent. They were workers. God gave to Adam a calling, and Adam gave his sons a calling too. Both came. Don't ever think that Cain, folks, was a heathen. Because he wasn't. We're told here in the scripture that when Eve knew his wife, or Adam knew his wife, she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Here you have the basis and the blessing of marriage. One man, one woman. Of course, in our society, this whole concept has been stood in its head. Now you have the so-called same-sex marriages. You have all this business about transgender. You can be what you want to be. Where God has said and stated clearly, even here at the beginning of time, that Adam knew Eve as wife, and she conceived and bare a son. That's the God-ordained means. There's no other thing that's acceptable to the Lord but this. Two boys grew up together in the same home. They had the same parents. They were taught the same thing. They saw the same thing. They witnessed the same things. But in their attitude and in their behavior, they were entirely different. Isn't that the case even today? Many families, and in the Free Church as well, we have children, some of whom grew up strong in the Lord, just want to serve Him. Others in the same family, brought up the same way, listening to the same message and teaching, went their own way and went astray. Things really haven't changed. One became a farmer. One became a shepherd. Both of these men, folks, listen, were shown how to approach God. You see, Adam and Eve knew God. Since the fall, since the provision of the blood atonement, since the clothing and the garments of righteousness, they knew the Lord and they knew the way to God and they taught it to their children. The point here is this. Both of these men knew to come. They knew. They knew they had to come to God. Verses 4 and 5 tells us, Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. That word respect means to look upon with approval. God approved of Abel what he brought. And the only thing that God accepts, beloved, is atonement by precious blood. There's no other means acceptable. Cain was rejected. Now, it's interesting that the offering that Cain brought looked lovely. It was very pleasant. Deuteronomy and Leviticus reminds us that the only thing that's acceptable to God to bring the sinner nigh to God is the shed blood. It is the blood, says the scripture, that maketh atonement for the soul. You can bring all your works of righteousness. I remember when I was first converted, a wee man in my workplace who was very resentful of the gospel. And when I tried to tell him that he was a sinner and that I was a sinner and we are all sinners, He just lost his rag completely. How dare you say that I'm a sinner? I have lived a good life. Haven't done anybody any harm. I'm as good a man as what you are. I said, Billy, I want to tell you something. You're probably a better man than I am. But this book tells me that all our righteousness and all our good living and all our works done to please God are just like filthy rags. Not acceptable to God. The only thing that's acceptable is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that text in Hebrews. I just turn to it for a moment, please, to Hebrews chapter 9. And again, these are scriptures that you'll know very well, but it's good to read them again just to remind ourselves about them. I'm going across to the book of Hebrews and chapter 9, verse you're familiar with, and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without, that's the thing to underline here, folks, without shedding of blood is no remission. You cannot be saved. You cannot be accepted by God apart from the blood of sacrifice. Hebrews 11 and 4. By faith, that's the key here. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith. Many years ago, when people used to come from all over the place to visit in the Martyrs' Church, when I worked there, a professor of theology from Maynooth, of all places, that's where priests are trained in the Roman Catholic Church in the Republic. This brilliant, alleged brilliant theologian, he came to see round the martyrs, and I was given the wee task of showing him round, and I did that. First thing I noticed about him was he was a bit worse the wear for the whiskey. That was the first thing I noticed about him. But as we were looking at, you know, around the martyrs, as you will know, there's these busts of various martyrs and reformers. And we stopped at Luther's bust on the wall. And he looked at it. And he said, you know, Luther added to the Word of God. I thought that was a strange thing, talking to a representative of a church that has done that for generations. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he came to that verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, the just shall live by faith. I said, that's right. But he said he then took the quill, the pen, and he wrote beside the word faith, the word alone. The just shall live by faith alone. For then we had this theological discussion of the need to compare scripture with scripture. And trying to show this man that very clearly God says in the book that faith alone saves a sinner. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, sir, Luther found that out as he studied the book. That's what we all should be doing. We should be studying the book. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, folks, you know, tonight, to be saved by the blood of Jesus. It happened in my life some 55 years ago as a teenager. I can say with the hymn writer that I met the Master and I belong to him. But the basis of all my salvation, the basis of my every hope, is based solely in Christ, in his blood, in the once for all offering for my sins on the cross. Without that, you have nothing. Nothing at all. And these two men, Cain and Abel, they came to God, both knowing that they had to be accepted. They knew that. Cain hadn't known that, he wouldn't have come at all with anything. They're coming to worship. But then when you get to a look at the comparison in the worship, you see the difference. You note what they brought. Cain brought the product of the ground, which God had cursed. Now you have this lovely wee display here at the front of the church. We don't come with all this stuff offering it to God for our salvation. We come just to thank him for his provision. And that's scriptural and biblical. Nothing wrong with that. But Cain brought this offering. Here's the works of my hands. God, here's what I have done. Isn't it lovely? And no doubt it looked beautiful. It was nice. It was pleasant. But he brought the product of the ground that God had cursed because of sin. Oh, beloved, the work of your own hands will never see you. Someone said that Cain was the first practicing Roman Catholic in what he believed. In that he thought, in all honesty, he thought that what he was bringing to God was sufficient. It was enough. How could God refuse such a lovely offering as this? He could refuse it, beloved, because our righteous works are but filthy rags. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's lovely to look at, you know, this thing that Cain brought. Just as the sons of Jesse were paraded before Samuel. Oh, surely it must be him, thought the prophet. Even the prophet of God thought it was this man, it was Eliab or somebody else. What did the Lord have to tell Samuel? His own servant, he had to say, listen. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And folks, Cain's heart was hardened. He was not right with God. He knew about blood atonement. He knew about slaying the lamb. But he wouldn't do that to please God. No. His offering was much pleasanter to look at. He offered what he offered in unbelief. Jude reminds us of those who have gone in the way of Cain. You see, you might be the most religious person in the whole of this district, in the whole of Tyrone, in the whole of Ulster. And there are many people, and they're so devout, and they're so religious. They think what they do. People from the Protestant tradition have told me this. I'm not a bad person. Remember meeting a man at a funeral one time. We started to talk. He noticed the collar. I was wearing the collar at the time. And you know, the collar is like a magnet sometimes. Like a woman that I met in the hospital once with a big camera slinging beside her. When she saw me with a collar, she made a beeline in the corridor. She didn't say, hello, your reverence, it's nice to see you, how you doing? I don't believe in God, she says. That's the first thing she said. Well, I said, you know, scripture has a name for you. God calls you a fool, because the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Didn't like that, mind you, but it's the word of God. But this man that I met at the funeral, he said to me, you know, I fell out with my clergyman. I said, well, that's nothing unusual. That happens quite often. I said, what happened? Well, he said, we're your church people. And my clergyman, he preaches a different message than I've sort of been hearing all my life. And you know, when it came to the confirmation of my child, he wouldn't arrange for her to be confirmed. I said, well, that's very interesting. They tell me this, sir. What is confirmation? What does it do? Oh, I don't know, he said. But he said, my granda was confirmed. My da was confirmed. I was confirmed. And I just want the child done, was the word he used. I said, why would you want something done in your child? You don't know what it's for. You don't know why you want to do it. It's tradition, you see. Tradition of the fathers. Nothing wrong with tradition in its right place, but never substitute it for the redemption of Christ. Folks, there's nothing else. And I say it from my heart, and I've been saying it now in preaching publicly for over 50 years. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not works of righteousness that we have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. There's no more. Cain wouldn't accept this. And what he offered, as Jude reminds us, he was offering an unbelief. Ah man, listen, religion's not enough. This old world, as far as you know, is full of religion. You count up, even with a computer, the numbers that are given for people who are Islamic, the followers of Islam, the followers of Buddhism, Hinduism. There's millions of gods in Hinduism. And there's millions of people who follow the teaching. There's millions in the cults. There's millions in modernism and apostasy. Relatively speaking, there's not so many among the redeemed of God, but that doesn't matter because there's no other way. Religion in itself is a rope of sand, beloved. It can't save anybody. Was it Nicholson who said religion couldn't save a tomtit, a little bird? Couldn't do it. It's not religion you need, it's a redeemer you need. Young person, I'm going to tell you something. And I discovered this when I was in my late teens. There's nothing else that matters in this life than knowing Christ as Savior, resting, trusting in Him. I'm 73 years old now. I know I'm over the allotted span. But I know this, that the day that I get absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. Why? Because I brought my own works of righteousness? No, not at all. Because I'm trusting only in the blood that was shed, like Abel did. Brought the lamb. It didn't look so pretty. Leslie Weatherhead, a former president of Methodism, said that this religion that they preach, these evangelicals, it's a butcher's shop religion. It's all about blood shedding. Yes, it is. And there's nothing pretty. When you think of the amount of blood that must have been shed that night of the Passover in the land of Goshen so long ago, when it's reckoned about 500,000 lambs were put to death and their blood was shed. What a sight. But it's when I see the blood, God says. Not when I see your deeds of righteousness, your good works. When I see the blood, I will... The word is hover over you. How true, how blessed that is. It's the blood. No beauty to the natural eye. You read Isaiah 53. When we look upon him, there's no beauty in Christ that we should desire him. But the dying thief beside him on the cross, he saw something of beauty in Jesus, whose body was soaked in blood, who had been beaten and abused and tormented, but was able to look by faith and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knew that Christ was a king because he had a kingdom. Do you know Christ as a king today? That's the question. The difference between God's religion and man's. D.L. Moody, when he met a very devout Roman Catholic man on a train, he said to him, you know, sir, there's only two letters that separate your religion from mine. Your religion spells D-O-D. My religion spells D-O-N-E, done. For what Christ has done satisfies God, appeases his wrath, brings me nigh to him. It's the cross, hallelujah. The cross of Christ is all my boast. A Saviour's blood is my only plea. It is enough that Jesus died, brethren and sisters, and Jesus died for me. Do you know him tonight by faith? Have you trusted him? For there is a conclusion here of worship as we finish tonight. Cain was rejected. Notice, it's not only his offering that was rejected. It was him. The Lord said unto Cain, verse 6, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. You know what God is telling him here? He's telling him, Cain, there's salvation for you at the door. You can be saved. The sin offering lieth at the door. That's what the word means there in verse 7. He rejected God's offer, and we know that he became a murderer. And the Lord had no respect unto Abel, or unto Cain and his offering. He had not respect. Unto Cain, not just his offering. It was Cain that God rejected because of sin, you see. Refusal to acknowledge the only way, the God-ordained way. Abel was accepted, of course. Aren't we told in Ephesians chapter 1, a great book, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, listen, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Folks, can you understand this? Did you know that the book tells me in 2 Corinthians 5 that Christ was made sin for us? How do you explain that? That we might be made or declared, because we could never be made righteous, only in a legal sense, but were declared to be righteous because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. When God looks at me tonight, he doesn't see me in my sin. He sees his Son in his blessed sacrifice on my behalf. There's only one way to God, friend. 1 John 3 talks about the wicked one. And if you're not saved tonight, that's where you are. That's the one in whose hand you find yourself. Many years ago, and I finish, Dr. Paisley, and outside of what anybody thinks or what happened and all the rest of it, I really miss him. I have to say that. But he was in a conversation with James Callaghan, who was the Prime Minister at the time. And of course the Prime Minister was trying to settle him down. He says, again, he says, listen, sure we're all the children of God. The big man stopped him in his tracks. He says, Prime Minister, that's a lie. We are not all the children of God. The Bible speaks about those who are the children of wrath and the children of the devil. And if you're not in Christ, you're a child of the devil and a brat of hell. Man, that's something to tell that to the Prime Minister of the country. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Reminds me of Sam Houston in Canada. Watching an event was going on, the Prime Minister had turned up, going to and people were gathered all around the place on both sides, and there was a pathway for the Prime Minister to go in, and as the Prime Minister was walking past, Sam sees an opportunity, and he said, and you can just hear the voice of him, excuse me, sir, could a man from Northern Ireland speak to you? Of course, when he heard Northern Ireland, he stopped dead in his tracks. He said, what do you want to tell me? You know what Sam told him? Told him that Jesus loved him and died on the cross for his sins. Frank McClellan told me, he said, I've been in Canada 30 years and I never even seen the Prime Minister, never mind talk to him. But you see, friend, listen, that's the only way. There's no other means. If you haven't Jesus, you have nobody, you have nothing. You're a child of wrath. At this harvest time, we would exhort you tonight. If you're not saved, you're not sure. Young person especially, but all folk. Get right with God. He shows you how. This could be a reaping time in your life. May God grant that it will be so. I don't usually go to the door now for various reasons, but I'm here. As Mr. Ormerod, of course, is here. He will be at the door. If anyone wants to speak with us, we'd be very happy. It's not the first time we've seen people come into the Saviour, even in the pulpit in one of our churches. The Lord can save you wherever you are. Even down the telephone, as has happened a number of times. But you need to get saved tonight. Friend, don't leave the meeting without the Saviour. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. May God bless His truth to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Last, Mr. Marmer, would you please close, brother? Thank you. Thank you.
Let's have a word of prayer as we close this evening, please. Do you want to thank God's servant for being faithful once again in the gospel? And we do rejoice that, even as it says above on the wall, that salvation is of the Lord. Amen. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Let me echo those words of our brother. If you have any concerns at all, please do either speak to myself or come to the pulpit, even as others file out. Our brother would be delighted to open up the book and to present Christ to you. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee and praise Thee this night for the plan of redemption. We do rejoice, O God, that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be that substitute for our sin, to take our sin and our sorrow and to make them His very own, and to bear them to Calvary, and there to suffer and to die alone. Amen. And we thank Thee, O God, upon Calvary's cross, that His precious blood was shed. We do rejoice, O God, that that blood, it cleanseth from all sin. And Lord, we do pray for each one that has heard Thy word tonight. O God, if they're still in their sin, that this will be the night when they're plunged beneath that fountain filled with blood, which has been drawn from Emmanuel's veins. O Father, even now as this meeting comes to an end, we pray that Thy Spirit will speak on. We pray, O God, that Thy Spirit will strive with the sinner tonight, that they will even come and be washed in that precious blood of Christ. Be with each one now as we separate one from the other, and take us to our homes in safety, and watch over us in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.